Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel for this day, the 11th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, the 20th verse, Jesus said, "If I by the finger of God cast out devils, the kingdom of God is come upon you." Whenever I read this gospel for this third Sunday in Lent, I remember two sermons I heard many years ago. And the first one was by the pastor in whose congregation I grew up, who was, I think, one of the finest preachers I've ever heard. He was able to write out a sermon and then say exactly what he had written. You never had any sense that he had laboriously memorized it. His sermons were always full of sound teaching, grounded firmly in Holy Scripture, as received in the Church's Catechism. The sermons made the connection with life as we daily experience it. But, they almost never contained anything intended to make his hearers laugh. And that was, in a way, very strange, because as a teacher, or indeed an after-dinner speaker, his talks were just full of humor. Only once did I ever hear him say from the pulpit anything that could give rise to laughter. And that was in a sermon about Satan. As I remember the sermon, he was trying to make two points. One, that as St. Paul says, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, meaning that Satan's ways of working are far from obvious, out in the open, plain for all to see. And the second point he was making is that in our day, Satan has become a kind of cartoon character, a figure of fun. So in his sermon, Pastor Engelbert said, "After all, if a man in a bright red suit with horns and hoofs and a tail and waving a pitchfork walk down the center aisle of this church, you'd all know where to tell him to go." Yes, Satan, the devil, the ancient enemy of God and man, has been turned into a figure of fun and has more or less succeeded in convincing most people today that he simply isn't. That Satan is simply an outmoded superstition. And this, as C.S. Lewis said, may well be Satan's greatest triumph in modern times. Because if you're convinced that Satan is nothing more than an outmoded superstition, a myth, a fairy tale, then he can go about his destructive work undetected and unhindered. Our resistance is down, and we are easy prey to all his seductive wiles. In this connection, I remember a sermon preached many years ago by one of my most beloved teachers in seminary, the late Martin Frontzman, who said, "You might say that the trouble with the modern world is that we've all been to the devil's funeral and have stayed around for the refreshments served by his grieving relatives. But all of Holy Scripture, together with the faithful and constant teaching of the Church, and everyday experience too, unite in proclaiming the reality of the ancient enemy of God and man. Of course, Holy Scripture tells us not so much what Satan and his minions are, as it tells us what they in fact do. Scripture tells us that they are fallen angels, by nature invisible spirits, bodiless powers, and that their purpose is always to destroy all the goodness that a truly good and gracious Creator has made. And it must be said that the Church is especially the target of their evil purpose. It has been truly said by Dr. Luther that wherever the Lord builds a church, the devil builds a chapel. And in some churches, the devil has a very fine and large chapel indeed. Two of his favorite strategies are to sow seeds of dissension and to keep our eyes so focused on problems that we lose sight of God's astonishing goodness. Satan has so many wiles. He is the deceiver, the accuser. And in the light of the epistle which is read in church on this third Sunday in Lent, something must be said about Satan's success in his efforts to destroy the foundations of love. And by that I mean his efforts to destroy the institution of marriage as holy and as God-given. I'm thinking not just of the scourge of abortion, in which innocent, unborn children are cruelly destroyed in their mother's womb. But I am also thinking of the confusion Satan has sown through unsuspecting servants concerning the nature of marriage. It is now almost common that people live together as man and wife before they have become man and wife. And as if that were not bad enough, we also have the absurdity that people think that men can be married to men and women to women. This too is a destruction of marriage as God instituted it. Now, all of us are guilty of sin. We all sin in thought, word, and deed. And so we are in no position to cast stones at people who have been thus ensnared by Satan. Rather, our attitude toward them must be one of compassion and kindness, and a desire to free them from Satan's deceits, that they may walk in the light of our gracious Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. And so, because of all this, we are called to prayer, as we say in the words of the Litany, which Luther believed to be the best prayer in the world after the Lord's Prayer. And in one of the many petitions of the Litany, we pray, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, good Lord, deliver us. And when in the appointed prayer or collect for this third Sunday in Lent, we pray that God would stretch forth the right hand of his majesty to be our defense against all our enemies. All our enemies surely includes the unseen hosts in rebellion against God. And so the gospel for this third Sunday in Lent is a warning. It is a call to vigilance. It is a call to watchfulness against the snares of the devil. Now, all of this can sound rather gloomy and defeating, unless we remember that Holy Scripture never draws our attention to the sad reality of Satan without also drawing our attention to our Lord's victory over him. So, in the Holy Gospel for this day, Jesus, accused of casting out devils by means of the devil, says to his enemies, "If I with the finger of God cast out devils, the kingdom of God is come upon you." Satan has met his match and more in the incarnate Son of God, God made man, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ's great struggle with Satan in the wilderness, in his life of perfect obedience to the Father's will, always resisting every satanic suggestion, and finally in his death of perfect love, pouring out his lifeblood to cleanse us from the stain of all our sins, our Savior has defeated Satan. The decisive battle has been won, and we only await the manifestation, the unveiling of his victory on that last and great day when the world as we now know it will come to its end, and the risen Lord of love and glory will make all things new. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.